Hello, this is Vivi on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, with English Talk Radio. My guest today is Thomas Nolan, engineer and frequent traveller. We last talked to him on his arrival in Grenoble as he took one of the last flights out of Wuhan. We'll find out what he's been up to since then. Hello, Thomas. Welcome back to English Talk Radio.
Hi, Vivian. Thank you very much for having me back.
On our last interview, which was March the 5th, 2020, on 17th of March, you flew to Shanghai. What happened next?
Yeah, so my company was, they asked me to go to China at the time. And even though that was, you know, I guess the pandemic was really taking off at the time, I remember thinking to myself, look, I had some colleagues who were there, and I felt, look, if it's safe enough for them to be there, then it's safe enough for me to be there. So I agreed to go there. So originally the plan was to go to Shanghai for 1 month, because that's all you get a visa for when you go to China. So the plan was to go there for 1 month. And when I flew to Shanghai, about a week later, the shutdown happened in France. I think the shutdown was around the 17th of March or the 15th of March. So at that point, I realized, well, what's to come back for? So when the shutdown happened in France, the Chinese government, what the Chinese government did, and I guess the whole of Europe was kind of shut down at that point.
Right.
The Chinese government, they extended all visas for all foreigners who were in China by an extra 2 months. So even though I had a visa for 1 month, it now became valid for 3 months. And because we had enough work to keep me going out there, I agreed with my boss, yeah, look, I don't mind staying. I'll stay for the 3 months. So that's, it was handy because you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to apply for an extension. Your visa was just automatically extended. So that was handy. That was
unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. Yeah, but sensible too, because China realized, look, it's better if you're here, don't move, don't travel, like everywhere.
Right,
like
right.
Wherever you are, stay where you are. Don't travel.
Well,
don't
where
move.
Could you go anyway?
Yeah. So, and things were open, well, not fully open over there, but they were more open than they were in France. They in Shanghai, they'd been in a shutdown. And they'd come out of the shutdown, and, you know, shops were open. Restaurants were only open for takeaways, but shops were open. And
so the economy kept moving in Shanghai at that point, in March of 2020.
Yeah. So when Europe was going into a shutdown, China was really coming out of it, I think, you know, regional shutdowns anyway. So,
well, you missed it, but I walked through Jardin de Ville one afternoon, and by chance I turned around and looked. I was the only person in Jardin de Ville.
Wow.
Never That's seen like that before. Never. Everyone was at home. There's no point in going out.
Yeah. With the French. It's like being in a post-apocalyptic movie or something where you're the only one in the whole
creepy.
City.
Like it was almost creepy. But I should say the next day when I went by, those side gates that I had come through were padlocked.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it was anything to do with me. I hope not. Well, with the French lockdown in place, how did you get back to Grenoble after your 3 months?
Well, in actual fact, So it came to the end of the 3 months, and my boss asked me if I could stay for an extra month. So I did. I agreed to stay for an extra month, but that extra month I had to apply for an extension on the visa. So I was in Shanghai. I had to go to Beijing to apply for the visa extension. So I went to Beijing for just a day and handed in my passport, and they hung on to it. So I went back to Shanghai, and I had to come back 2 weeks later to collect it. And When I came back to Beijing to collect it, I collected it no problem, and then came back to Shanghai. But that weekend coincided with an outbreak of COVID in Beijing. It was like this localized outbreak.
So they didn't want you.
Well, yeah, when I got back to Shanghai, I was contacted by, I was contacted by the authorities in the hotel and told I had to do, because they knew I was in Beijing, and they told me to do some tests and to isolate in the hotel room. And also the company that I was working at in Shanghai, they found out I was in Beijing, and they said, okay, we don't want you to come back to work for another 2 weeks. And which was okay. To be honest, it was the case that those were the last 2 weeks I had anyway. So it was like, okay, so I'm not going to be going back into work before I leave. So, but it was interesting how the, well they were able to track where I'd been and, you know, the hotel that I'd been in. I mean, I wasn't in an area of Beijing that had the outbreak, but it's just the fact that I was in Beijing that they knew about it. So, so yeah, so...
So you were, were you suspicious? Did they, were they suspicious of you in any way? Because on one point I want to bring up, Thomas, is you said you left your, you were obliged to leave your passport in Beijing.
Yeah. But that's because they would put the visa on the passport. It's the same if I get a visa for China.
Okay. All right.
You
all
leave you leave your passport at the Chinese embassy in France, you know. It's not they weren't suspicious of anything. So
that wasn't anything special.
Practice. No, it was just standard practice. So yeah, so then eventually trying to get out of it was interesting trying to get out of so now I'm back in Shanghai and my company is trying to get me a flight back to Europe. And I just said, look, get me anywhere in Europe and I'll figure out the rest of the way myself. So they booked a flight. Then that flight was canceled. They booked another flight. That flight was canceled. So eventually they booked me a flight that went from Shanghai to Hong Kong and Hong Kong to London. And I thought, okay, great. So I turn up in Shanghai airport to check in to the flight to Hong Kong. And the people behind the desk are telling everybody that if you get on this flight to Hong Kong, you when you land in Hong Kong, you would have to do 14 days quarantine in Hong Kong before you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, everybody is freaking out, you know. So, so it was very, it was upsetting because it, the flight was, I don't know, $2,000 or something, and it was like I had to ring our travel agent to give out to them to say, what the hell are you doing? And it was British Airways. I wanted to contact British Airways. I couldn't, but you wanted to say, what are you doing? You know, this is ridiculous. You've sold me a flight I can't use. And to be honest, calling the travel agent was probably costing, from China, was probably costing me as much as the flight itself.
Right.
You know,
right.
You get no. So eventually I went to the ticket counter in a deserted, I mean, the airport's deserted at that time. I went to a ticket counter in the airport and they came up with a solution where from to go from Shanghai to Beijing and then Beijing to Paris. And the price was $4,000. And I handed across my credit card. I wasn't sure if it would survive that kind of expense, but I just said, look, I want to get out of here. I have to get out of here. My visa is expiring in a day. I don't want to be caught stuck here with a visa that's expired, so I just got to get out of here. So yeah, so I got, I had to go to another airport in Shanghai to get the flight to Beijing, and the people there, they had to do, you know, sometimes you, because you're not Chinese, and they have to fill out these forms, and they have to do QR codes and everything, and because you don't have all that stuff, they have to figure out a way around it. And in fairness to them, they were very, very good. They figured out the way around it, and they got on that flight to Beijing. I had a night in Beijing, and then a flight from Beijing to Paris, so I got back. So that was good after 4 months in China nonstop.
Well, I would have thought, I would have plumped for Geneva myself if I was trying to come to Grenoble. What happened with Geneva? Geneva was off the cards?
Well, no, nothing was on the cards, to be honest, Vivian. If I got, you know, anywhere in London, anywhere in Europe was all you were going to get. Whatever I got, I was amazed I got Paris.
But, you didn't care.
You know, there was just no choice. I mean, there was one, when I was in the airport in Shanghai, there was one international flight that day, all day long. And that was to Hong Kong. And that was to end up in 14 days quarantine in Hong Kong. So it was just, at the time, there was no international flights at all back, you know, so...
Wow.
So,
at that point, yeah. You went, let me just back up a minute, Thomas. So after that, you refused that flight to Hong Kong. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
2 weeks of isolation. And, you know, all these isolations are paid for by the person. They're not paid for by anybody else.
I would have expensed them on my company. I would not have,
So the
you're right. They are paid for by the person themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
It could get quite expensive. There's been some information about that in the English newspapers, talking about the fact that people are showing up and they're astonished they have to stay in this horrible little hotel and it's going to cost them £2,000. Well,
yeah,
you should have looked at that before you got on the plane.
Is that what's happening in Geneva, in Switzerland right now? No? And of all the places to have to do quarantine, Switzerland is so expensive anyway. It would just be, having to do 2 weeks would be very upsetting. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
my colleague flew from Taiwan. When I left, he was coming to Shanghai to replace me, and he had to come from Taiwan to China, and he had to do 2 weeks in a hotel room, nonstop, without getting out of the hotel room. And he said it was just the most horrible experience he's ever had. I mean, it's basically like being in prison, but in prison you get an hour in the yard with your fellow inmates. In COVID quarantine in China, you don't get out of the room for 2 weeks, you know. In prison you get an hour a day outside, you know.
It can drive you mad. I had knee surgery a couple of years ago, and you don't go out alone for about 10 days. And I was just absolutely craving to get outside. It was the strangest thing, because I couldn't go outside. And, I wasn't going crazy, but at the same time, that was my desperation. I want to go outside. I've got to get out of here. I need some air. And, 2 weeks on your own. So they brought the meals to the door and
changed the
sheets. It's hard.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Vivian. And the thing is, even if it's just for 20 minutes or a half an hour that you get out a day, that's enough.
Yes,
just a change of scenery. But it's just the fact that you can't. You know, you do end up going stark crazy. And it's like, it's the fact that you cannot. Even you don't, normally... You don't need to be out for that long, but the fact that you can is the whole thing, you know. So yeah, I can feel for you. I understand it's not pleasant. So look, all this stuff makes you appreciate the little things in life, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and I think that's our human nature too. Somebody tells us we can't do something, human beings immediately say, "Ooh, that's just the thing I want to do." Airports, once a bustling hive of activity, certainly in Shanghai and Beijing, silent when you were there.
Yeah, they were very, 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 very quiet. You know, there were still some people flying. I think there might have been some flights to Macau. You know, Macau is a big gambling spot. I think it's like the Las
Vegas of
China.
Yeah. Well, what about private jets, though? They really took off. If you look at The Economist, it will tell you that private jets have had a wonderful time, because people said, you know, if I can't fly commercial, I'm going to fly on a private jet.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't go down that route, Vivian. My expenses, my bank account doesn't stretch that far. So I think I'll have to get somebody else to interview for that. But I know. I understand that they did some good business. All right, you know, private jets. I've never ever. Well, I presume. Have you ever been on a private jet? I presume not.
I have.
Oh, you have. Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
but not
good.
During a
very
pandemic. I mean, that's a whole different story. We'll have to do a show on that. No travel for you once you got back to Grenoble then. So now we're talking summer. We're talking July. You've been gone for 4 months. And you're back in Grenoble.
Yeah. So the worst thing was, when I came back, the worst thing was not being able to go back to Ireland, because it was just too complicated and too difficult to go to Ireland. You know, at the time there was quarantine that you had to do, and it just wasn't sensible, and it wasn't. So yeah, last Christmas was the first Christmas that I didn't spend with any members of my family, and I'm sure there's quite a few people had the same situation.
Very much.
But in honesty, I was quite grateful, because we had a big project in Crowell last December, and because that big project went through the Christmas, I was able to work. So, you know, if it was any other year, I would have been upset because they would want me to work over the Christmas and I would want to go back to Ireland. But this time, I was just able to work. I worked all through the Christmas, except for Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So I was quite lucky in that sense. And but I spent like 18 months not between, it was 18 months where I hadn't been in Ireland, which was the longest I've ever been, you know. That. Mm. So I only got back, I think, about 2 months ago was the first time I'd been back in Ireland since then. So I'm going back this Christmas, if everything holds. I'll go back next week.
You hope.
I'm looking forward to that.
Unless Omicron gets you.
unless Christmas is cancelled again or something. So, yeah, so that's... But I was lucky. We had a big project in France, and now we have, this year we've had projects, big project in Milan for the last 6 months here. So that's fine. And we're busy again.
You are listening
to... go ahead.
Go ahead.
But it's been all, all my travel has been, I have been on one flight since I came back from China, and that was to Ireland. So... I haven't been flying at all. You know, going to Milan is easy because it's just bus or train. So it's very easy.
Yeah. So. Well, it is if you live in Grenoble.
Yeah. So.
You are listening to Radio Campus Grenoble 90.8 FM. Now, let's get back to Wuhan, because I did call you Wuhan Man after the first show we did together. What happened to your friends and colleagues in Wuhan? Closed city, then it was an open city, then it was back to normal, and then not so much.
I talked to two colleagues that lived there, basically, and they endured the shutdown, you know, which was incredibly strict and incredibly... Like they said, it was scary. It was scary at the time, you know, because of the fear of the disease. And of course, I know the Chinese government is probably listening to this interview, but you know, initially the numbers that came out from Wuhan were that something like 4,000 people had died from the disease,
right?
You know, which was ridiculous. Like the city is 10 million, you know, and it was just some ridiculous numbers. But I think they upgraded those numbers. But yeah, my colleague said that they endured, I think it was 3 months of shutdown or something.
Mm.
And it was scary and it was difficult mental health wise. It was difficult to endure. And but then they came out of it. And that was better. They were able to, the place they were working, there was one colleague, the place he was working, he was able to go to work most days. So that was, I think that was a huge thing for him, you know, for mental health wise, it was huge, like being able to go to work.
Just to have normal routine, I think that was one of the things that was very obvious and very noticeable in France, because I was in France, I was stuck in France for the whole thing, and normally I travel every 2 weeks, so I was here for a long time, and you didn't stop and have a cup of coffee on your way to a meeting because there were no places open to drink a cup of coffee and there were no meetings. And you didn't meet friends for a glass of wine after work before you went out to dinner or to the theater because those things weren't happening. So normal life was tumbled. It was not normal. And I'm sure it was the same in Wuhan.
Yeah. But they had a huge fear of fear of the unknown. I guess, and we had that here as well when you had the shutdown. You know, I actually didn't endure a shutdown at all, having escaped from Wuhan and then been in Shanghai. So, strangely enough, I haven't gone through that experience. You know, I know you all did, and so I can't really comment on it. But yeah, it's. Look, I think it's something we're going to be living with for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
If we can. You know, tiptoe along as we're doing now, maybe that's okay. You know, I'm not sure we're ever going to.
Well, let's get everybody vaccinated.
Yeah. That
would
be
a tremendous help to getting rid of it, I think. So talk about the 30th of June 2020. You had a lot of changes to cope with.
What was the 30th of June 2020? What was that? Sorry.
That was when you were coming back?
Oh, yeah. So that was when I came back to France. Yeah. So look, I mean, it was just nice to be back. It was great to be back. And it was just...
Did you ever have a concern that you were going to get ill? I mean, you have traveled a lot. You've been on planes. People are not going on planes anymore. They're very uncomfortable with it. And you've been on all these planes. You've been close to people. I'm sure you wore a mask, and I'm sure you had your tests and your vaccines. But at the same time, weren't you ever concerned about your health?
No, I don't really remember ever being concerned because, no, I mean, I was working with people. We were all wearing masks all the time. You just get on with it, like, you know. I mean, if at any point, I never got sick, I never felt sick. If I had got sick, Vivian, yes, then obviously you would fear the worst, or you would worry that you would know. But no, I never had any twinge, never had any feeling of sickness, so I didn't have anything, I didn't have any doubts or concerns, so I didn't have anything like that to deal with. So no, I have to be honest, no, I didn't worry. You just get on with work and you just get on with life.
The airlines must love you. Intrepid Thomas just keeps on traveling. What is next for you?
Well, I'll be in Milan next week, God willing, and hopefully have Christmas in Ireland this year. And in the new year, then it'll be all Europe. I will not be going back to China, I don't think, because one of the things, while I was there for 4 months, I managed to train the people I was working with. So they're now taking over. So I don't think there's a need for me to go back to China. You know, if they ask me, I don't have any problem with doing it. But to be honest, we have quite a bit of business in Europe right now. So I think I'll be staying in Europe, and I'm happy with that.
So it's Europe for you?
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it, yeah.
Well, what's your favorite airport? Any lighthearted moments in airports? I mean, we're talking about terrible things here, so there must have been some fun. I mean, there must have been something amusing.
The most lighthearted moment that I had in an airport wasn't, it was about 25 years ago. I'd flown from San Francisco to New York, and I was about 25 at the time. And this, I was waiting for my luggage in New York airport, and this 50-year-old man, he kind of sidled up to me, just kind of sneakily, just kind of sidled up to me, and he whispered to me, he says, "Hello, excuse me, are you a BG? And I kind of looked at him. I had no idea what he was on about. I thought he was talking about like a tourist group that he was part of, and was wondering if I was part of the same group. And I said, I don't know. What is a BG? And he said, "You know, the group, the Bee Gees." And I was like, "Oh my God!"
Group.
Yes, the musical group. I mean, I was 25 at the time, and he was thinking I was this 60-year-old guy, you know. And I remember my feeling, just wanting the earth to swallow me at that point. But it's funny because I realized about an hour later that what I should have said to him, I should have just looked at him and just turned and said, "Could you tell by the way I use my walk? I'm a woman's man, no time to talk," and just walked off. And he would have thought, "Oh my God, it was a BG." You know, so that is that's the most amusing thing that ever happened to me in an airport.
He's probably still telling that story.
I think he is.
Well, so, we all thought that December 2020 was the turning point. Life would get back to normal in 2021. How has the travel aspect been for you? I suppose you're not flying now. You're not flying at all.
No, I don't fly. I mean, no. I mean, no. I don't think we're ever getting back to what we were pre-pandemic. But like, if we can get back to even what we are now, where we can do most things and we can meet people and we can stay going, and everybody, if we keep going with the vaccines and the boosters and we keep everybody safe, you know, hopefully things will be okay. But Yeah, look, for me, it's been pretty okay. It's been pretty normal. I mean, I'm traveling between France and Italy. It's easy enough to do it. So I'm back to normal, more or less, you know. Everything here is wearing a mask. I mean, I wear a mask all day long here, basically, at work, inside and outside. You have to wear a mask on site. Subway, you have to wear a mask. You know, in the hotel, I have to wear a mask. So, but it's fine.
So what would you say to people who were going on business or pleasure, maybe pleasure is better, to China now? What would you say? I mean, you've been to Shanghai and Beijing. You've been to both of them, and certainly Wuhan. That's like a triangle of three big areas. What would you say?
Yeah, look, I mean, China is nice. I think it's a good place to, if you're going there for work, I think it's a good place. I mean, the Chinese, I really like the people I worked with. I thought they were very nice. They were very good to work with. Even the customer was very nice. I had a very good experience in my time in China. And I'm not just saying that because the Chinese government is listening in. You know, I really mean that. But, but no, I mean, it's a fascinating country, and the people are very nice. And it's, you know, the immensity of it is a bit terrifying and a bit scary. Just because you feel, you know, you realize how little you are, because there's billions of people there, and it kind of makes you feel insignificant, you know. Whereas in Europe, you kind of feel a bit more significant and a bit more of an identity. But there, it's difficult. But no, look, it's a good place to visit. It.
Yeah, but you'll always be a BG.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks, Wuhan man. I mean, Thomas. Good luck for 2022.
And good luck for you and your radio program and everything in the future. And have a lovely Christmas. And thank you very much for having me on the second time again. It was a pleasure chatting to you.
Give my love to Ireland.
I will indeed, Vivian. I will indeed. Take care.
Bye.
All the best. Bye. Bye. Ciao.
I was talking to Thomas Nolan, engineer, frequent traveler to China and other places, about his experiences in the past 20 months. Very interesting. You can listen to English Talk Radio on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, campusgrenoble.org, Wednesday 1900, Sunday 12:30, and don't forget the podcast. Thanks to Bertrand. English Talk Radio.